Hello and welcome to the Sex Within Marriage podcast. My name is JD and I blog over at uncoveringintimacy.com. And I've had a lot of conversations with couples as well as husbands and wives individually lately about what often gets called duty sex or pity sex. For those who don't know, duty or pity sex is when one spouse gives into sex not because they desire it themselves, but because their spouse does. And they might have sex for many reasons, including feeling obligated, pressured, guilty, to keep the peace, or just to get them off their back. And the problem is that these negative reasons are often the only ones considered. And so any situation in which one spouse wants sex and the other agrees to it without having an internal desire of their own is seen as unfavorable. And this belief is compounded by our society constantly telling people that they shouldn't have sex unless they are in the mood, which I think is a deliberate attack on monogamy. I mean, it's easy to say that to people who are using apps for hooking up, going to bars looking to have sex, and constantly jumping from one partner to the next, when all you know is infatuation, new relationship energy, or being able to find someone else who is in the mood whenever you are. Then it's easy to abide by that. But what happens when you're in a long-term relationship? You know, when you have children and the stresses of life, when your hormones shift, when you don't have the option to find someone else who happens to be in the mood at the same time you are because you're in a committed monogamous relationship. When you can't just put your relationship in the closet until you're ready to take it out again because you're in the mood, like an outfit for clubbing. What about when you have a spouse who isn't in the mood when you are, or they're always in the mood, or maybe never? Suddenly, the don't have sex unless you're in the mood rule turns into a burden because it's not designed for relationships. It's designed for those who want to destroy the concept of relationships. And I think it's incompatible with a Christian worldview. And I think it's part of a larger move in our society to move us away from intentionality and consideration and towards being wholly focused on emotions, feelings, pleasure, and reactions. And this mindset should come as no surprise to those who read books like Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. This is a dystopian philosophical novel in which drugs and sex control society. Similarly, Juvenal, who is a Roman poet, criticized his society for their willingness to be distracted from serious concerns by simple distractions such as were held in the Colosseum. And the Bible also warns us to focus more on thoughts and choices and thoughtful decisions rather than emotional reactions. You know, in Proverbs 29:11, we see a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. In James 1, verses 19 to 20, we read, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, we hear the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, against these things there is no law. You know, it consistently teaches us to act not in response to emotion, but in self-controlled love and intentional responses. And this push to make decisions based on feelings runs along these same lines. It's a systemic attack on thought, on marriage, on God, and more. And I don't think most who push this rule of don't have sex unless you're in the mood know that that's what they're doing, but it still ends with the same result. This push prioritizes personal desire and gratification over more thoughtful consideration. It rejects concepts like neuroplasticity, which we talked about a few weeks ago, a willingness over desire, which I have a post on as well, a sacrifice, and more. And don't get me wrong, there are definitely times when duty sex is not good, like those times I mentioned above, when it's coerced or pressured, when you do it out of guilt, when you feel like you have to, and when you are just trying to get them to shut up about sex for a while. Those are not good reasons. They point to a more significant issue in your marriage, your spouse, or yourself. And sometimes that issue is simply that you believed that you have to be in the mood to have sex. My wife and I, lived with this paradigm for years until we learned better. And do you know what happened? We were both waiting for her to magically be in the mood. And guess what? It never happened. You know what did happen, though? She would feel guilty about not being in the mood, and so we'd have sex, and it would be good for both of us, but then she'd feel guilty about not wanting it more often, for not knowing why she didn't want it, for only having sex when the guilt became too much to bear. And she enjoyed sex and would say things like, "Why don't we do this more often?" But the next time that I initiated by asking something like, hey, are you in the mood for sex? The answer was always no, because she had responsive desire and was never just randomly in the mood. So as a result, we had a clinically sexless marriage for years. That's sex less than once a month until we realized that this was a lie. So don't believe the lie. Have sex even when you aren't necessarily in the mood, and change your mindset from asking, am I in the mood, to am I willing to be in the mood? And don't ask your responsive desire spouse if they're in the mood for sex. Instead, initiate precursors to sex, not sex itself. I have a post on that if you're interested. And there are links in the show notes for it. As for duty sex itself, often we just need to reframe what duty sex is. Because there are some excellent reasons for why we have what's commonly considered duty sex or pity sex. And often the conflicts I see in marriage are not that it's because of those reasons I mentioned above, but instead about something positive and loving. Often the lower drive spouse is trying to do something loving and caring. They recognize the need for sex in the relationship and the desire of their spouse and want to meet that need. So despite not feeling any particular desire themselves, they engage in a loving gesture. And in many cases, this leads to a good time for both spouses because, in many of these cases, the lower drive spouse experiences largely responsive desire. So even though they aren't in the mood for sex when it starts, they manage to get in the mood, enjoy themselves, and maybe even have an orgasm. Or maybe they don't, but they enjoy the closeness. Or maybe they just enjoy doing something loving for their husband or wife. In all these cases, there's nothing wrong with this. This is a loving gesture given to your spouse, and spouses who engage in this sort of loving gesture often get quite frustrated when it is then rejected. Their spouses will tell them that it's not good enough, that they need to have or initiate sex simply because they want it themselves, not because their spouse wants it. And this view of needing to initiate sex or have sex only when you want it has this entire paradigm backwards. You know, why is it seen as loving if it's selfish, but not if it's selfless? You know, think about it. If you both want sex and then have sex, that's a lot of fun, but it's just both of you getting what you want out of it. While that can be lots of fun and pleasurable and indeed can be loving, there's nothing inherently loving in agreeing to do something that you want for yourself. On the other hand, if you, with a loving heart, agree to do something for your spouse and choose to do it happily because you know that they love it and you love them, that is a genuinely loving act. So why do we elevate the scenario where both spouses are meeting their own desires and denigrate the other where the spouse is being loving? Now, there are four reasons I think why this is the case. The first is that our society tells us that being in love means that you desire sex with that person. It doesn't matter if you're single or married, all the movies, TV shows, etc. out there tell us that the way to know that you're actually in love with someone is if you want to have sex with them. If you're single, that means you should be in a relationship. If you're in a relationship and you're attracted to someone else, that means that you should leave and start a new one with them. If you're in a relationship and not attracted to your partner, then you're no longer in love. Everything is based on the whim of attraction and feelings rather than choosing to love and commitment. And it is ingrained in us that we want sex with our spouse, but if they don't with us, then we love them and they don't love us. And if they have sex out of a choice of love and commitment as a gift rather than because of some internal desire, that is then interpreted as not being loving. The second is that our egos want us to be attractive. We feel that if we're attractive, then people will want to have sex with us. Again, this is an unambiguous societal teaching. Many people make jokes or are serious about having a hall pass when it comes to celebrities. As in, if you ever get a chance to have sex with your celebrity crush, then it's not considered adultery. Of course, it still is, but that's the prevalent trope. So when your spouse doesn't want to have sex with you out of an internal desire, then it must mean that they're not attracted to you, which means that you aren't attractive to them. And we can handle not being appealing to the world, but generally we want our spouses to be attracted to us. And we gauge that by how much they want to have sex with us. It's not a good metric, but it is in the minds of many spouses. The third is that we don't want to be the weird sex addict. I think many of us fear that if we're always the one initiating sex, if we're the only one who ever wants it, does that make us a sex addict? And What if our spouse is the normal one and we're the weird ones? What if we're not supposed to enjoy sex as much? What if it's something I'm supposed to grow out of? What if there's something wrong with me psychologically? You know, if our spouse wants sex as much as we do, then we don't feel alone. We don't feel weird and we don't feel broken. And lastly, we remember them wanting to have sex with us. You know, for many in this dynamic, the higher drive spouse remembers the other one wanting to have sex more often, or at least being more interested in being physical. For many couples, things started off hot and heavy, and then it changed. Similar to some of the ideas above, the worry is that this signals a loss of love. I mean, if they wanted sex all the time when things were great and amazing at the beginning of the relationship, and now they don't, what does that mean? Doesn't that mean they don't feel the relationship is great anymore? Do they regret marrying you? These are all fears I hear from spouses who are introspective enough to look at their own frustrations and dissect them. And there's a simple answer, I think, to address all of these. And that is to honor the sacrificial love your spouse is offering. You know, you have to recognize that they are doing it out of love. And I won't say that they aren't doing it out of duty, because there is a lot of overlap between these two concepts. If we love someone and we care about them, that comes with a sense of responsibility. For example, I love my kids and I feel responsible for them, and I am duty bound to care for them. And when they're young and just starting to learn to play card games and want to play a game called War, which I find a very dull game because it's 100% set by the shuffle of the deck, you know, I'll play with them because it's fun for them, even if it's not challenging or that much fun for me. But I love to see them smile when they win a big stack of cards from a triple war. You know, should they then reject my willingness to play War with them? Of course not. Now they're older and we play much better games. We have quite a few games, actually, and that we all enjoy. And I've been enjoying playing One Deck Dungeon with my younger two ones because they're not quite ready to play Gloomhaven yet, which I play with my wife and the oldest two. Let me know if there's any other Gloomhaven fans out there. The point is, there's nothing wrong with doing something for someone just because you enjoy being with them, seeing them enjoying it, and knowing that you will enjoy it as well once you get into it. And these days, I appreciate it when my wife is willing to invest time and energy into sex, even when she's not feeling it in the moment. I treat these as opportunities to get her aroused. Sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. When the opportunities are more frequent, it's much easier to cut a night short when it's just not working out. Because just because you're willing to doesn't mean you're necessarily able to either. And so it becomes a team effort, both of us working to wake up her sex drive. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but we win or lose as a team. And there have been many times when we say, look, this, just stop, go to sleep, and try again tomorrow. And sometimes tomorrow doesn't happen either, because life has a way of changing our plans. And it's okay to be frustrated and disappointed by that change, so long as you're not frustrated and disappointed in your spouse. It is not okay to be frustrated and disappointed in not receiving a gift that they are giving out of love. So if you're having fights about duty sex, this is how you move forward. Share this podcast episode with your spouse. If they prefer to read, there's a link to the show notes. They can read the whole thing verbatim. Ask them what they think of it. Use it as a conversation starter. If you're having duty sex for the wrong reasons, work to change the reasons. Choose to have sex for your own reasons, even if that reason is to be loving and caring. Any situation where you feel like you have to do something due to external influences will make you feel bad about it, less in control, and less likely to lead to a positive outcome. In contrast, decisions you make yourself for internal reasons, whether that's due to an internal sex drive or simply because you're being loving, those are more likely to lead to positive outcomes, and you're more likely to look back on it positively. And if you're frustrated because you've been getting what you've been calling duty sex or pity sex, but now you realize it's a loving gesture, apologize and work to change that mindset. And it can be hard to change that. Like I said, this is a simple answer, but it doesn't mean it's an easy one. If you need help, I do marriage coaching and we can help you get past it. We can talk through it, find a practical solution that fits your marriage and help you move forward. But often people just need that paradigm shift to see it from a new perspective. And I hope this helped give you that. And that's it for this week. I'll talk to you next time.